I'm Captain America. Chance to start fights.
Oh my gosh, this means I can... Never mind.
Welcome to another Comic Pop License to Read, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with...
April.
Logan.
Louis.
And today we're going to be looking at Survival Colony 9 by Joshua David Bellin. And it is a 2014 release in September, so it'll be a forthcoming release. I believe when we visited with him, he said it would be September 23rd. And the publisher is Teen Simon & Schuster, so he's got a big backing for that. So that's kind of nice for him. We also want to thank Rebecca Gross for allowing us to get reviewer copies of his book. She's with SoCal PR, so thank you, Rebecca, for doing that for us. And we will begin here with reading of the back, and then we'll kind of get into the story a little bit. It says, Query Jin is in trouble. He can't remember anything before the last 6 months, and Query needs to remember. Otherwise, he is dead weight to the other members of Survival Colony 9, one of the groups formed after a brutal war ravaged the Earth. And now the Scaldi have come to scavenge what is left of humanity. No one knows what the Scaldi are or why they are here, just that they can take over a person's body before shedding the corpse like a skin. Query is both protected and tormented by the colony's authoritarian commander, his father. Desperate to prove himself, Query tries to fit in, but remains an outsider. The only person he can talk to is the beautiful Cora, but even with her, he can't shake the feeling that something is terribly wrong and that he and his lost memories are at the very center of it. So that is the description on the back cover.
I don't know. Can you say his name again?
Query.
Query.
No, say his name again.
Query.
Full name.
Jin. G-E-N-N?
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon Jinn?
That's like the first thing I thought of when you was reading that. Oh,
Qui-Gon Jinn. Question.
Yes, I know.
Well, and it's based in the future, kind of.
True. We have spoken with the author, and that interview will be released after this review, so look forward to that in the future. But his name is Joshua David Bellin, like I said, and he started this as his first fiction, and it's young adult. He has written some nonfiction before, so we do have that he's done. But the main characters are pretty much given. He's got Query, who's kind of 15-ish.
He's 14.
14-ish, okay. And wakes up with no memory. And Layman is his father. And he's the leader of this survival colony. And this is kind of like a near-future apocalyptic-type world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's deserty. And I kind of referred it to like a Mad Max situation. You know, there's no vegetation, very little water, and what water there is, it's tainted.
Yeah,
for the most part.
The rain's mostly fine though,
right? They can still drink the rain, and it comes, it's kind of like a rainforest type of rain. It just comes and dumps and then it disappears and doesn't rain for several, sometimes weeks or months.
Very, very, very rare monsoons.
True. But and this is where he might have some books in the future about some of these topics, but the wars have taken place before this story, and it's basically devastated the world.
This is about 50 years after the war.
And the Scaldi have appeared from somewhere. They're kind of wispy, ghost-like creatures that can inhabit a body, and they basically take it over, and then they slowly eat that body away. and they gain the memories of that person, mm-hmm. so they can kind of disguise themselves within a group. Huh. And then when they use up that body, it basically just turns to dust. Mm-hmm. And if they don't use the body and just attack and eat, they just, it's real fast. They attack and it's kind of a quick turnaround, and the body's dust if they don't decide to inhabit it.
So kind of like the, I don't know, I was going to say kind of like in Blade, you know, when they shoot the vampires. I don't know.
And the dust comes up. In a sense, yeah. It's kind of them shedding their skin and shaking it off like a dog, I guess. I don't know. But that's why the colonies are about, is because after the wars, everything's devastated. There are different colonies. This isn't the only one. This just happens to be the one designated number 9. And
though some of them might have been a bit devastated earlier.
True. Some of them have been lost.
Because there was the memories of the older ones when the survival colony was an actual colony instead of a caravan.
On the run.
Yeah.
True. And what Lois talking about. And there's an old lady that's kind of like the historian, kind of tells the kids.
She remembers.
Yeah, what she remembers. Mm-hmm. But like Logan said, there are other colonies. They did have some established colonies, but then when the Scaldi hit, that's when they started becoming a nomad type system.
Yeah, because the Scaldi are much more devastated with everybody grouped together.
True. And some colonies that get hit by a Scaldi, if there's any survivors, they can be absorbed into other colonies.
Yeah.
And they're going through a rigorous testing. If there's a suspicion, they'll actually kind of pull a tooth or really yank on the teeth to see if... Yeah.
They'll pull out your nails
right
really hard. Because when... I can't remember her name. I'm not good with names. When the good scout, the really good scout, right. She was the one that...
Petra?
Yeah, Petra. Yeah. Petra. When she was the first one, I think, that we got a look at the trials, and she was bleeding, you know, and spitting blood and everything.
Is there any specific connotations to the name Petra? Because that's been used as a lieutenant-type person in at least 3 things.
It's
now.
Just a cool name.
I know, but...
Is it to see if we're, are they real humans, or is that why they do them, or why do they do those...
Yeah.
Why do they not feel pain, though?
No, I can't remember the exact.
When they gave,
wasn't
possessed?
It black blood type deal?
I don't think it exactly.
If it was black blood, you could just cut them a little.
Yeah.
That'd be like in Supernatural.
Yeah.
But it's the test that they have to go through if it's a suspicion. Mm-hmm. And then, like, if there's a suspicion that's one's in the colony, all the colony members have to go through it. They mm-hmm. do a quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. But I can't remember exactly why that particular thing. I can't remember off the top of my head. It's been a while. Maybe in my notes I'll come across it here.
They tried burning them to kill them.
Yeah, burning is about the only way to kill them. Flamethrowers,
they think.
Because weapons really do nothing to them. It's the fire that mm-hmm. really kills them.
Not really, if I remember the ending parts correctly.
I don't know. We don't want to give too much away.
I haven't finished this book yet, actually.
Wow.
I haven't. I'm about maybe halfway through. I'm not roughly... And it's not because it's a bad book. I like the story. It's just an off and on book for me. You know, I'll pick it up when I can. But that's why it's dragged on so long.
I haven't read it, but
this is one that we started before Luis kind of stepped in, and he's kind of going to be our kind of color commentator with the books. He's got a busy job, so he doesn't really have too much time to do the books. So.
I called around half of the big reveal. Didn't actually call all of it, but I called around half of the big reveal just by reading the back.
Okay.
And that's all we'll go into that.
Why is it so important for Query to remember?
That would be giving it away.
Okay. Oh, really? Well, that's what I was thinking.
That's what I should have clued into the other half of the big reveal, I know. But I didn't. So
Reading the back, like how, when you said it, the colony depends on him or whatever, and I was like, why?
I guess.
You know,
well, there is a reason, and the story is a little bit of a day in the life.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't skip around a bunch like other sci-fi adventure type deals. This is more of, again, a sci-fi drama, mm-hmm. I would say, because it is kind of a day in the life. It follows them. It might skip parts of the day, but it progresses day by day by day.
Yeah. Oh, so it's there's more like
it gets
first month, 5 months later.
A few changing in situations, too.
What's that, Logan?
It gets it right where they're going through changes in the situation, though.
Yeah, true. it's just there's not action on every page. You know that you do have the lull sections where it's just them making camp and just camp life. You know,
and a lot of it there's tension between
Yav,
who's kind of a bully, and Quarry, and there's Cora and her boyfriend. I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Aang. Just kidding.
And they're Aang.
Really, though?
And that's what I thought too. And, you know, there's a start of a little bit of a love triangle, but that kind of takes like a back seat, really. So
because
go ahead.
Because, you know, the main person is usually going after the person who's taken, you know, the main characters.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to like somebody who's doing something, you know, that I perceive as wrong, is trying to break them up. I'm just like, I can't root for you like that, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't actually do that.
Yeah,
he
I know.
Fond and has a bit of a crush on her, but...
Well, he kind of introduces a three-way love triangle, but it doesn't really go anywhere.
You don't have to say it's a three-way love triangle. When you say love triangle, it's pretty self-explanatory because of the word triangle.
Sorry about that.
Lord, I'm going to draw a diagram.
Sure.
Flow chart.
I'm old. Be kind. But I did find the boyfriend's name. It was Wally, I believe. So
Wally.
Yes. And there's Alika, who is the second in command. And April's kind of touched on Petra. She's the head scout. And she goes out and kind of scouts for Scaldi a little bit. Scouts for where they could set up camps or water. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of their purposes. And because they are an advanced team, if there's any question, that's why we were talking about they had to go through the trials to see if they had been turned by any
especially
chance.
If they got back late.
True. And the reason she's being tested is the story opens up with everyone being woken up and having to get loaded up into two or three kind of military trucks.
It's three.
And
that was four at first.
They start moving out because there's a Scully attack.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
So that's where it opens up pretty much right in the middle of that scene, and you're thrust right into the action right away. But then they go a little bit, I don't know how many miles down through the desert, but they come across an abandoned town.
Yeah.
And Layman decides to make the colony a semi-permanent.
Yeah, he wants to make it permanent.
So they stay at that town, or...?
They stay at the town. They go through checking for the Scaldi. He starts having to do fortifications to try to for defensive positions.
I have
positions.
A question. The Scaldi, is it like you said? Is it like a little ghost kind of thing, that like a wisp, or is it like more like a creature, like an alien that can walk around? You can see.
See, this is
or?
Where I think we're gonna differ, because what I've always pictured is like
four
Spencers, like. Look for Spencer. For pincers. Kind of like sharp legs.
Okay.
In a kind of M look, I guess. N look. Like a spider's deal.
Right.
Four of them. And then like kind of the body. And then for some reason, I pictured like an alien. Like Predators versus Aliens. I pictured an alien's head on top. And I'm... Now that I think about it, that doesn't make sense with them like being able to get sucked into the body, you know? Because...
I'm not sure how they...
I'm not...
How do you guys picture it, I guess? Yeah.
That's how
their
I pictured
actions
it.
Seem Whoa. To be wisp... Whoa. Sorry. Their actions seem to be wispy in a way, but their description seems to be a bit like a spidery human.
Well, how do you picture it then?
Physical features at all.
Yeah, it's kind of a... Like, yeah, it's kind of like what Logan said.
So
it's
like insect kind of looking...
That's what I pictured. Kind of
insecty, spidery, but like Louis said, it's wispy as well because they can enter in through the mouth and stuff and
they
have
also
the body.
If I remember correctly, I'm not sure if I do, but if I remember correctly, it was kind of like also they had a hint of human with no features at all to him, along with that spidery.
Yeah,
if
really.
I think so. Yeah. Each reader will probably see a different image.
Okay.
But it's kind of...
Yeah, because the one I see is like massive and black and shiny, like aliens black with the head and then a different body. And that doesn't make sense, but that's what
it
kind of
does make sense.
That's what
I
still
picture.
I know
what you...
Given that
I can see it.
I think I remember a specific fist fight with one of them near the end.
Well, like I said, they're kind of corporeal, but they're wispy at the same time.
Their actions tend towards wispy, but also tend towards kind of solid, which is
kind of in between being, I guess. I don't know what you would call it.
All right.
But it's each individual person, but I look at it kind of like what Logan sees, but the characteristics of what April said I saw too. It's kind of the wispy, spidery, insect-type deal. Then somehow they can enter in through the mouth and inhabit.
It's like a demon.
Like a host, right? Mm-hmm. I guess kind of a
demon. There you go.
But when they get into this situation at the deserted town, the tensions rise between a group that wants to leave and continue being nomadic and the group that wants to stay. So a lot of tension is growing through that. So you don't get a lot of action. You just get the tension and the build up and then the consequences, because they do end up splitting, and the split kind of has different consequences because some people are hurt, some people are killed. Different reasons arise that, you know, they get attacked by a scoldy within that encampment that really drives them to split the wedge and drives them to split apart. And
but they didn't split at first because there was that coup.
Is it a certain amount of people?
They had a coup?
Yeah.
Oh, I love coups.
They had a coup. True, you're right, Logan. They had a coup before the scoldy attack, and then after that attack,
they split up.
And
Well, they went, and then they split up after that.
Okay.
Because remember, the rescue was when they split up, not the scaldy attack.
Oh,
I think the scaldy attack was the backdrop for the coup, wasn't it?
Was it? It might have been.
I haven't read this far.
So. I don't know.
But yeah, Logan's right. There was a coup, and Layman was taken and pretty much taken prisoner. They were wanting to kill him.
Yeah.
But they tied him up, and he was rescued by the group that was staying true to him, and then that's where the split occurred. Yeah. And then after that point, we probably can't really say a whole much, because after that point, kind of gives away the ending.
Yeah, I don't want to. So. I don't mind knowing about.
Then Quay learns info and splits. That's
right.
Maybe it that we can say.
True.
Okay,
didn't give anything away.
Well, when he says splits, it makes me think. Oh. Yeah, well, with this book, I like it, and I am going to finish it, you know, as I get there. But one of the main reasons why I have gotten into it as much as I have with all the others is because I don't really have a favorite character. In general, I don't really like all of his characters. I mean, nothing against how he writes them, I think. You know, they're good, solid characters. None of them appeal to me at all. You know, like Query, angsty teenager. He has no positives to him. I mean.
Well, it's because he doesn't know anything. He's kind of a blank slate right now.
He's bland. He's got no backbone.
Do you think?
There wasn't a distinctive feature that I could like. And with Cora, it was kind of the opposite. There was a distinctive features that made me not like her. Like,
Do you think the author did? Give him, he lost his memory or whatever, and gave him a blank, whatever.
Blank slate?
Yeah, that way you can relate to him, so that way, you know, you could be the character. Like, they do that a lot with a lot of books and a lot of video games, where that way you can relate to him, so that way you can be, you can make your own background, see, that way you can make your own story, see, maybe he was... I know he's 14.
Well, whatever, I don't mind
I can't
him.
Say in you the war, but still, you know. Right.
I don't mind him not having,
having
a memory, but that shouldn't stop him from having a backbone or something, you know.
He's starting from the beginning.
Come on,
he's a baby. Actually,
later, you know, it's a progression. You have to read through, and it is a mystery to a degree because of that memory loss. But there's a progression to Query's story that we can't really talk about because it does progress. Yeah. And definitely things happen. Yeah. Cora is strong.
I didn't like how moody she was.
Yeah, true.
I mean, she was so bipolar, and I was like, girl, you need to get your crap together.
The adults were primarily strict and regimented to a degree that were the scouts and the in-command
leaders.
The civilians, though, they were pretty much just like everybody. Give us some food, give us some water, let us sleep, and... We're kind of happy.
See,
devastated that, you know, everybody's Well, the way I pictured him, from head to toe, is covered in dirt.
Yeah, I pictured really, really gritty and just... Right.
Yeah. No, the way you picture it, it kind of reminds me of a Book of Eli a little bit, when, you know, when they go to the town and everybody's all...
Oh, that's another thing. Yeah. I didn't like the age he put Query and the other teenagers in.
They're too young for you? Or?
They're in that younger teen, so they're around 14.
Yeah.
He was 14 at the beginning, you know. And... You know, obviously, I'm going into this expecting some sort of love between Query and Cora, but I couldn't like it even before I started reading the book because of the age. Because I'm like, they're too young for that crap.
They're too young to think about stuff
like that. I'm too young for that crap.
Well, when you go ahead, Logan, I'm sorry.
In relation to that, Query and Cora, there's a kind of at the same time as not it at
no,
all.
No, yeah, I know, yeah. But...
Yeah, I guess I can see that, like, kind of like, I guess, would be like, you know, they're too young for, like, around that time, you know, post-apocalypse, I can never say that word, but, like, you know, for that, I don't think they're thinking about stuff like love and stuff around, you know, because everything's going on, and maybe if they're older and they're like, oh, well, you know.
Well, exactly.
If they're older, maybe they were thinking about, you know, getting together because, you know, the end of the world already, so, you know, they need somebody, but if they're this young, maybe,
and that's kind of
I kind of see what you're saying.
And to me, that didn't bother me, because to me, it's the exact opposite. Mm. You know, back in the 1800s, girls were getting married to guys at 12, 13, 14, and these guys were like 18 to the 20s.
See, but he's so... And okay, go ahead.
This
sorry.
Is where, like you said, it's repopulation. They're going to be looked at to start sooner and maybe try to have children, because they do have kids within the colony. I don't think there's any babies, though. I think there's, like,
no,
some
kids.
Five-ish and older. So, go ahead, April.
But because the book sells it as a romance.
No?
Well, no. This is selling, not the whole book, but the book is selling that there is a romance.
Really?
When, yes.
The way you,
welcome
you
to the mind of a girl.
Uh-oh.
When it says, desperate to prove himself... Query?
Yeah.
Okay, thank God. Query tries to fit in, but remains an outsider. This next part is what sets it in a girl's mind. The only person he can talk to is the beautiful Cora.
Yeah.
It's done. There's love.
So technically,
you know, and that's,
the way you read it, it would be like the whole book is like him trying to make her, or I guess.
No, the way I would read it, because
welcome to the
you
mind
gotta,
of the girl.
You welcome
yeah,
to the mind
exactly
of the girl. The way, the guys here, the way I picked okay, this up and read the back, you know, and everything, I pictured, you know, the whole adventure mystery deal, you know, and I pictured the romance as an undertone. I didn't think this was a full-on chick flick. Chick flick, it's not a movie, but romance,
yeah,
Nicholas
exactly.
Sparks, but I expected a little undertone of it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And
there was a little undertone.
And so that's why the age kind of stopped me from getting into it. And then when it developed, it kind of lied to me.
Okay,
and I was like, I'm not feeling a lie. You
there
know?
Was a crush there.
Yeah, he had a crush.
Yeah.
She really didn't return it until a certain point, and then after that, we can't really say too much more.
Yeah.
So,
as I said, in that relation, kind of, but not at all.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Kind of, but not at all.
Yeah. We can't, it's hard to talk about because it does have a bearing.
I've read
on
far
the story.
Enough into it. And
oh, you've gotten
with
to that
the interview.
Part? You've gotten to the part with between okay. her and him?
Do they kiss?
No.
Will they do that?
No.
Yeah, I think they do.
Yes,
Logan,
they do.
I don't think you read the book.
Pool.
No, it is
almost,
by the pool.
And then
they get on that.
I don't know.
They were interrupted. If I remember right, or that's when the Scaldi attacked.
But
by trying... Sorry. you'll probably have to... But.
Gotcha! I know, it's hard to talk about, isn't it? I thought you got that little piece out. I can't even remember what we were talking about before we dived into that.
We're talking about how it sells an undertoned romance. Undertoned.
I can see where maybe you could get that, but for me, being a guy, that really didn't say anything to me.
Exactly.
It says a bit about romance, but
it's like, I mean, we don't need much to get us going, you know. If there's an inkling that there could be
I could
a romance
that
in
that
here.
Bit leading
we
into
on
the romance.
There
but,
you go.
True. The characters in this, like you said, Query's a blank slate. I think that's on purpose. Korra and all of them do have their distinctive personalities. They do come into play later on in the steps. But for me, part of the fun was the mystery of the reveals or the novel. That's kind of what kept me going. Because to a degree, mm-hmm. there was some action and it was good, but there was a lot of in-between of the mm-hmm. daily life. So it was and during those times, they were written well. It's just that it slowed down. Huh. So for being a young adult book, I can see your readers will read it. Your readers that are strugglers, they might get to those slow parts and really struggle and let it go. So that might be a danger there.
I don't think it was a bad decision that Joshua made to make it a bit slower in some areas because, you know, it's not his fault a reader lets it go, you know, and because I know some classmates with loose readers, with kind of iffy readers in general, they're hard to find a book for. So if you see a loose reader, you know, trying to read your book, but they put it down, don't take offense because they are very, very picky because it takes so much for them to get into something.
Now that you say that, I'm pretty sure this is how I would be. The only way I would probably be able to read this, I don't know if they have an audio for it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's probably the only way I would be able to enjoy it, you know, to listen to a CD and have somebody read it with me. Because mm-hmm. sometimes for me, I get lost in books and I'm just like, oh, I'm done.
And that'll happen. I've put down, I think, 3 books in my lifetime. I really had to say, I can't do it anymore. And I give a book 100 pages. And if it catches my interest, I'll finish it. Okay. If it loses me before 100 pages, that's when I know I can't go on.
I've put down...
That's cool, though. That's a really good goal, you know, because I rarely read. Yeah. I read more manga or comic books, but, like, mm-hmm. books, yeah, I would read more, like, I guess young adults, yeah. But, like, my favorite authors, Walter Dean Myers, which is not big books. Yeah. It's just, like, straight to the point, stuff like that, so...
I think I've, so far in my lifetime, I mean, I got a lot more to go to put down books, but so far, I think I've put down 1 book, and that was last year. Huh. And you know, it was a book in the first place that I didn't want to read. It was just a, I'm bored to death, I need something to do kind of book, you know?
Okay.
And I struggled my way through it because it's not my type of genre at all. It's so opposite what I like. And I struggled through it and it got to a part that was so over the top and ridiculous. I was just like,
you're just like nope.
Shut it and gave it back to my friend who had it. And I was like, nope, can't do it.
Well, this one, what did you think of the cover? We kind of mentioned on that the last time.
I really like it. It gives what the book has inside it, and I think it's pleasing to the eye.
Well, I kind of like it because it gave you the environment.
Yeah, kind of like you said, you know, Mad Max kind of look where it's the desert and stuff like that. And I like the little silhouette of, what's his name, Query? Yeah, because he said, you know, clean slate, you know, he doesn't remember who he is. But at the same time, I kind of see where, what are the bad guys called? Skull? What is it?
Skaldi.
The Skaldi, where they can take over people, and then, you know, you don't know who's who. So, you know, you don't know if it's him or it could be just some random wastelander, I guess. I don't know. That's just how I see it. And I like how they did the font where it's, like, peeling off a little bit, kind of like old, which is cool. Like. Yeah,
the weathering.
Yeah.
The desert environment.
Yeah.
A very odd idea.
Dude.
Dear Lord, Logan.
Sorry, a very odd idea. See how it's clearish?
And if you look at it, it's actually cracking. The
Get on the mic.
Maybe that's actually what a Skaldi looks like. Because it's clearish, so semi-permeable.
Let me see.
And at least one of the descriptions was human-like with
like a shadow?
No face thing.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's like Peter Pan's shadow.
Kind of.
Okay, yeah.
Where are we at here?
The person in the picture, you see how he's kind of translucent?
Yeah.
But he also has like little cracks to it, you know, so maybe it's like, you know, the Skaldi, whatever.
Yeah, it's the Skaldi.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I like it. I mean, I like the idea of the 9 having the landscape in it, you know.
Yeah.
That's a great way to tie in the title, the actual title with the book. And like, you know, the font is modern enough and clean cut enough that I like it. And with the whole scratching out,
especially it's legible, even though it's like,
you can see the chipping away and you get a sense of this book from it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, It would grab my interest
a little bit. The red and blue kind of fits it, you know, the red, the letters, and the blue in the back for the sky still.
And it's and honestly, this font and this wiping away, you know, it's red. I think of zombies and blood when I
Yeah, exactly.
The C and the L are red. Virtually untouched for whatever reason. It's weird.
Oh, it's just how it came out.
Yeah.
Especially back on the back where it's kind of smudged.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that very first L, bit of the description is in the red font again.
Yeah, I always like books. Really nice. Like, I've seen a couple books where they do, like, you know, like the book looks like it's weathered and stuff, but even though it's brand new, that's kind of how they did the font.
Somehow that L remains invulnerable.
It's not. There's some scratching on it, too. It's just not as much.
Little.
Passed around
here. Oh, yeah, I see the little.
At the kind of bottom corner.
Yeah, it kind of looks like if it. Yeah. I see a little bit.
I don't mind that because to me it's just all randomized, so it just makes it more random to me.
Yeah, kind of like if it was like, I don't know, like, you know how you said there's like an old lady telling stories and stuff? Maybe she's the one that's telling the story to everybody. I don't know.
It's one that when we talked to Joshua, he said that he's already finished the sequel. So you'll be hearing that in the interview, and he's looking to get it submitted and edited.
There isn't a release date or anything yet, though, so we can't give you that, unfortunately.
But this book here, if I remember right, he said September 23rd was the release for this one. So
this one, yes.
This is one for libraries. I would pick it up, but you're going to have to give it to your sci-fi readers.
Sell it.
Yes, you're going to have to sell it. It's not going to be one that the cover will attract some people, but for your non-readers, you know, there's, you know, the sci-fi readers are kind of a culture among themselves to get a general group to read it might be a little bit more difficult since it is a post-apocalyptic type tale, but to me it was well written. I enjoyed it. Since he said there was going to be a sequel, I look forward to that one coming out. So I think this one, to me, any library would be good to have this in it. If it gets destroyed, some of your smaller libraries might have to make the decision of replacing it or not, but I think in your medium to larger libraries, they could keep it on their shelves.
And look at that G. And it is a font, because look at all the L's and the R's. They're the same on each part, so it is a font.
But well, I know it's a
look
font.
Look at that G.
Look at the G.
I see the G.
you like that G, don't you?
But I think, unless there's anything else you guys want to mention about it, is there anything you want to mention, Logan?
I don't think so.
Okay, I think we pretty much covered it. Again, we appreciate, or April, was there anything else you had?
No, I shook my head no.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed it.
It's an indication.
Sorry. We do appreciate Rebecca again for giving us the reader copies of this. Even though it was reader copies, I didn't see much editing that had to be done for the finished copy. So
these are what?
Reader copies.
Do they seriously call those reader copies? Mm-hmm. That's stupid.
That's because they go out for people to read and review before they actually get on the market.
They should call them beta copies.
Beta copies.
Let me say this why. Because every book is a reader copy.
Well,
yeah.
Don't give me that.
True, but it's just.
But if it was beta, you know, then if he takes it back, you know, then he can rewrite it again. But I don't think he wants to.
Well,
that's what he can do here because it hasn't been released.
Oh, okay, never mind.
The finished product. That's why.
Okay.
Like if there were some sentence structure errors or spelling,
we could let him know.
Just small little twerks.
Oh, like we say, all these sentences.
And something I've learned recently, they actually do that with video games too.
Yeah,
we got to get on that.
Put those out.
Not beta testing, but just sending them out for somebody to review. Yep.
It's the playing games.
Huh? So
they probably call those playing games.
No, they actually send beta codes to people.
Okay,
who review games.
It's a computer platform. That's what
one of the playthroughs that I think the last one that I finished was of Rain, and that was one that was sent to the guy to specifically review.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep, they do those pretty much in almost any industry to a degree. So, but again, thank you, Rebecca, for sending us this. We appreciate it so much in SoCal PR. And we also appreciate Joshua Bellin for letting us review his book and also visiting with us. And again, like I said, that will be coming out after this review. So keep your eyes out for that interview with Joshua. We're having fun here. I hope everybody had fun listening to us. We'll see you the next time around. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.